the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on day three of our summer pledge drive. You're tuning your heart to the truth. We want to tune your heart to this number, 855-341-5199. Or you can donate online at ccradio.help, which is exactly what Pam from Covington did this morning, a $100 donation. Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you, Pam.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Day three.
Awesome.
That is good, good news. Tune your heart to this phone number. Yeah. I like that.
That's right, right. I love driving in from Covington this morning. I was behind someone and saw the big 690 AM bumper sticker right in front of us. I love that. So spreading the word. Something simple like that. You never know.
It was your mother, wasn't it?
Well.
No, you know. I'm kidding. It wasn't.
Peter.
No.
I paid her. Oh, boy.
855-341-5199. I wanted to hurry up and get that out there. Then we're going to pray for it to work.
Let's pray.
Okay.
I think, because that's what we're rooted on, right?
Yes, indeed.
You bet. And so this is adapted from our daily collect. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, whose providence never fails in its design, we humbly beseech you to protect us from all who might do us harm and to grant all things that work for our good and the good of your church. We especially ask you to bless our listeners and this station, that through this media the truth may be proclaimed and embraced in our families, in our work, and in our culture. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And we ask for the intercession of Blessed Franz Jägerstätter.
That's going to be an interesting
Amen.
One.
I think I said it right. Hope I did.
You don't know, but we're going to find out when
did.
We get to that part of the show.
Every year we hear about Blessed Franz Jägerstätter, you know, and I always remember it because he has such an interesting last name.
Yes.
So we'll definitely hear more later on in today's show. By the way, I'm Gabby Smith. That was David Dawson, and Johnny Hebert joins in our Baton Rouge studio. We didn't introduce guests
because we were
so excited to talk about the phone number today for our summer pledge drive, but we have a great lineup for you this morning, starting off with Christine Bordelon. She is the associate editor of the Clarion Herald, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. She's going to be updating us on what you're going to be finding in this week's issue in the Archdiocese. Dina Dow joins David and Johnny, almost like Damien, in the Baton Rouge studio. She's the director of evangelization and catechesis with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and today she's going to be talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus for the month of June and how we can turn to the Sacred Heart during this month. And in 48 minutes, Archbishop Gregory Amon joins us. He's the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he's going to be talking about the importance of Catholic media, Catholic community media, and radio in the Archdiocese, and why we need to continue to support this apostolate. You guys, this is so important. We are 100% donor funded.
Yes.
And that's why we come to you, Dave, right? Three times a year.
That's right.
To talk about our need.
That's right. You know, and it's humbling, but this is so necessary for us to do. This is said, yes, we're asking for alms. We're asking for you to help us out, because this pays our bills and this keeps us on the air. So I'll give that number one more time before the break, and that way you can run to the phones. 855-341-5199, 855-341-5199, or you can go to ccradio.help.
Yes, definitely. Also wanted to mention real quick, Johnny has his gospel reflection coming up right after the break,
live,
along with the gospel. Yes, in our Baton Rouge studio. Stay with us. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and put this question to him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second brother married her and died, leaving no descendants, and the third likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "Are you not misled because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses in the passage about the bush how God told him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You were greatly misled."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. I love that he's not God of the dead, but of the living. Isn't that good news, man?
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Someone once said, you know, we're trying to figure out these Sadducees, Pharisees, and what they believed and stuff. And someone said, you know, well, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's why they're throwing this question at Jesus. They're trying to say, see how stupid and silly your idea is?
Up,
you know,
right?
they're trying to come up with a question like that. So they didn't believe in it, so they were sad. You see?
There you go.
All right.
Okay, that one's going to stick, though. I mean, that was a corny joke, but that will stick. Yes.
And then the Pharisees didn't believe that anybody but them would be saved because it wouldn't be fair, you see?
Anyway, my goodness.
All right.
Yes. But, was that a drum roll? Did I hear a drum roll in there?
Okay. So glad that drum was queued up.
Is that all it says? Okay. Pharisee, I like that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair. Only them should make it, right. But there's one thing they did agree on. You know, they agreed that there was a lawgiver, but they missed the point, you know. What's more important, the law or the giver? You know, that's where they kind of missed it.
Right.
What's more important, the words on the page of a love novel or the lover that's standing right there before
right
you?
Right in front of you.
I mean, a map or a destination. You know, I'm guilty of this, going someplace and I'm so busy reading the placards and the signs and all the words and stuff. Something will happen. Jen will say, "Did you see that?" I said, "No, I was reading the sign." You know, it's like, pay attention, you know. You know, and so, you know, our Catholic faith, we do, though, have a lot of precepts. We have canon laws. We have catechism. We do have words, right? Even in our liturgies. And many can miss the point. But like the Sadducees did, you know, all this is just love talk. These words that we have, you know, because it is one big wedding feast that we are the church are the bride, and we're going to meet Jesus, the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. And here in the Gospels, Jesus is trying to explain that marriage is a mirror of the Blessed Trinity and its creative power, you know. But this marriage is just practice. It's a warm-up. It's a refining process toward virtue. And the ultimate marriage, of course, to be one with our Creator. In fact, as someone also said, that the purpose of marriage is to help each other get to heaven. That's the point.
That's exactly right.
And I was really moved. I was reading, you know, from the first centuries, St. John Chrysostom from Golden Mouth.
It's said 100 different ways, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chrysostom.
Yeah. So he's writing on marriage here, and I love this. And this is from the late 4th century now. He says, "Hey, talking to husbands, do you want your wife to obey you as the church obeys Christ? Then give her the same care as Christ gives the church. For you are doing it for someone to whom you already are joined, but he did it for someone who turned her back on him."
Wow.
Wow, listen to that. And he goes on to say this, "Whatever kind of spouse you do take, you'll never have a spouse like the church was when Christ took her, nor will you find one so estranged from you as the church was from Christ. For she was foolish," talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
"She was foolish. She had an evil tongue. And still he gave himself up for her as he would for a spouse, dearly beloved, young and beautiful."
My goodness.
"Listen to this. Though this was the case, he took her, he arrayed her in beauty, he washed her, and refused not even this to give himself for her." Isn't that beautiful? That's good. That's good stuff.
Yes.
You know, and he went on to say, you know, St. John Chrysostom again talked about the how all this is practiced, and he compared it to celibacy. He says, whoever praises marriage makes celibacy more attractive.
Okay.
And luminous. Wait, listen to that.
Elaborate,
listen,
if you
elaborate,
will.
Right? He says, celibacy is more attractive because it's a better thing. As much better as a captain is than a sailor, as a general than his soldier. So if you remove marriage from its honored place, you forfeit the glory of celibacy.
Wow.
And then he compares it to the angels, just as our Lord did today. You know, he says, talking about the angels neither marrying, he says, their natures, the natures, necessarily remain transparent and bright, untroubled by passion, like a clear and cloudless sky at midday.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, human nature is inferior even to these blessed spirits, and yet it strains, talking about eagerly beyond its limits to match the angels, talking about a living a life of celibacy. So it's in other words, the Lord's showing to us today that this, that marriage is a refining process. It's entering into that beautiful relationship that's ongoing in the Trinity, in the sense of its unity and its creative power. And it's, but it's a warm up. You know, it's a taste as we're moving toward that and refining us to be one with our Lord. So at all, our Lord continues to point to the joy and the hope of what we're here to do today,
right?
To proclaim we're all on this ship, on this, in this betrothal to our Lord, hoping to help each other get to heaven.
Yeah,
right?
It is amazing. It is amazing as I go through my life and this stage in my life, and I've been married this long and such, and how it's still, I can reflect on my relationship with God, God's relationship with me through what's going on in my marriage, in my family, now grandkids, and it's an entirely different enlightenment of how God sees us is how I see my grandkids. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they can do no wrong. I love them.
That's right.
You know, I mean, right? You know,
exactly. Like,
they're just incredible. And they come running to me with this incredible worship that I certainly didn't deserve. Mm. You know?
And what greater gift can we give them than to pass on the faith? And that's what this station's all about.
Yes.
Is trying to pass on. As you're driving to school or work in your car or wherever you may be, tuning in, letting you and your children listen. I love that. I've heard those stories before. Everyone in the car are listening to the gospel of the day, and they're talking about you know what what's going on in schools. That's why we need your help.
Your child
your help
could be
now.
A priest.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Be a part of it. 855-341-5199. That's how you can pass on the faith. ccradio.help to help continue to refine us like the angels in heaven. That's where we're all going. Right, Gabby?
That's right. Yes. ccradio.help, 855-341-5199. Stay with us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 7th. Today we celebrate Blessed Franz Jägerstätter. As a young man in St. Radegund, Austria, Franz was a natural leader who loved to ride his motorcycle. He'd been adopted as a boy by the Jägerstätter family following his father's death in World War I. After a minor run-in with the local authorities and a stint working in the mines, Franz became a farmer, got married, and resolved to live his faith with a quiet but intense conviction. In 1938, Austria was annexed into Germany, and Franz was drafted into the Austrian army. Though personally opposed to Germany's aggression, Franz's pastor, other priests, and even the Bishop of Linz urged him not to refuse to serve. After several deferments, Franz was called into active duty in the winter of 1943. When he refused to take the oath of loyalty to the Führer, Franz was imprisoned in Linz. 3 months later, he was transferred to a Berlin prison. On August 9, 1943, Franz was beheaded and immediately cremated. After the war in 1946, Franz's ashes were reburied in St. Radegund, where a memorial had been erected to the 60 village men who died during their military service. Franz Jägerstätter was beatified in 2007. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Hebert and David Dawson. It's our summer pledge drive, and that number to call and donate is 855-341-5199, or you can donate online at ccradio.help. You can help us continue to keep Catholic Community Media broadcasting in your car, on your mobile device, and continue to broadcast the true Catholic faith. So please consider donating during our summer pledge drive. Our first guest today is Christine Bordelon. Christine is the associate editor with the Clarion Herald, which is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Christine, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Gabby. How y'all doing over there?
We are doing great. Hope everything's going well over at the Clarion Herald and the wonderful staff over there. I know that you guys are very busy because we're going to talk about this one story that we have been highlighting for weeks now, and that's the ordination on June 3rd to four new priests. So tell us a little bit about how the Clarion covered this.
Well, it takes a team, as you said, to do. We have several photographers. We interview the priest. We write the stories. You know, we try to catch them with a little clip at the end, and Peter usually puts together a video. He's in Baltimore at the Catholic Press Conference right now, so the video will be coming shortly. But, you know, ordinations, if you've never been to one, it's just such a beautiful tradition of the Church. It dates back to over 2,000 years. And like you said, the four men that were ordained, I got to interview two of them, and I tell you, each one of them has a different call to the priesthood, but they've listened to that call. They listen to God's call to serve people. You know, and it's just a beautiful thing to hear their stories, and you know that they're going to be just wonderful examples of God to the people in our archdiocese. And with, I think, you know, it's the most awe-inspiring part of the entire ordination. It's like when the archbishop, you know, there are just some rituals that are involved in the ordination. Mm-hmm. You know, he anoints their hands with the chrism oil. You know, he'll pray over them, invoking the Holy Spirit. They get their stoles and their chalice and patens. I mean, it's just an incredible thing to witness as a Catholic in our archdiocese.
The ceremony has to be one of the most beautiful ceremonies I think I have ever seen. I can't recommend it enough. I know our cathedrals are only so big, but if you can get there early, if you can get a seat, you're going to witness something that is just incredible. And for Christine to be able to capture that and convey it, I know that's hard to do.
It's amazing.
It really
is. Amazing.
You know, there's so many different parts of it the whole time. We kind of know the way it goes now, you know, but there is a lot going on, and it's just all so beautiful, you know, when they prostrate themselves, you know, on the altar, just like obedience to God, and I'm going to serve your people. It's just really incredible,
like you said.
People ought to, if they can't get there, they ought to just watch it, because it's always brought live broadcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, the pictures on social media were incredible. Just some backstage, photos from the back behind the altar, and you know those pictures that you can't really see. Go ahead, Christine.
Right. We're usually in the balconies too, so the photographers, you know, in several different spots, so we get to see different angles of it. You know, so we hope we do convey it so you can get a taste.
Very good perspective on that as well. Definitely check those out on their Facebook page. Well, another thing to celebrate, Christine, are high school graduations from the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. How is the Archdiocese covering the many high schools in your area?
Well, there are 22 Catholic high schools in our Archdiocese, and every year we publish a special section, and it lists all the graduates. And it also lists, you know, the valedictorians, salutatorians from every Catholic school in the Archdiocese. So that's generally how we cover it, with a list of graduates and where their graduation baccalaureate mass was held, and with pictures of the vows and sals. And we did the cover, we framed the cover kind of with all the valedictorians of each Catholic school. So it's an interesting read there to just. Catholic faith is being conveyed in all our beautiful Catholic schools, and just this tradition continues, you know, for hundreds of years now.
Yes, and it's also fun for the parents to keep as well, so I'm glad that you highlight that. Such a wonderful celebration, a big step for the graduates. Well, let's also talk about this. When I heard this story, I absolutely loved it, and we talked about it on the morning show. St. Matthew the Apostle parishioners come together to pack food for the Hungry. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, they joined with Cross Catholic Outreach. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but I know I heard them the first time in Florida at a mass when we were on vacation. And they have this ministry. They do many different things, but one of their main ministries is to pack like these nutritional soup bags, and they send it to hungry people throughout the world, various like 30 different countries. So St. Matthew, 100 people from 100 parishioners at St. Matthew in River Ridge got together and packed 40,000 rice and bean soup bags. And it was wonderful to see. And Archbishop Amen is on the board of Cross Catholic. And he stopped by, and, you know, it was just neat to see him there and talking with the people. And I think they felt uplifted when he walked in. But Father Lee Poche, their pastor, he kind of associated what they were doing, kind of, you know, how at Pentecost the apostles received the tongues, they spoke in tongues. Well, he kind of was kind of like, you know, through their act of packing, you know, these rice and soup beans, they are speaking to people in, you know, different countries, different languages, just doing this work of mercy. So I thought that was an incredible analogy that he made there, that they're reaching people that they might not be able to talk to, but here they're able to talk to them by doing this wonderful act.
Through action.
So it was really a great thing to see.
Yeah.
Yes, and that parish has been through so much, especially in the last few months. See them come together and give back to those who are struggling. Absolutely incredible story. So thank you so much, Christine, for covering that. Well, tell us a little bit about this, the Way of the Light stations. What is that, and what are they up to?
I don't. I had never heard of it either. And so one of the parishioners at Annunciation Parish in Bogalusa called me, and she goes, you know, we did this thing, and I don't know if you'd be interested, but what I came to find out about it, it's called Via Lucis, and it's a way of light, and it traces the 14 steps of Jesus, like, after his death. And what I learned, I talked to Father Angel Diaz, who's pastor at Annunciation. He says it's usually celebrated after Easter, and, you know, it takes you, you know, through the resurrection, through Mary Magdalene, they're finding Jesus not in a tomb, and it just goes all through, all the way, you know, to Pentecost, basically. And Father Diaz first brought it to our diocese at Our Lady of Palm Sucker in Chalmette. He was there, and then he brought it to St. Jane de Chantal in Abita Springs, because he came here to work with the Hispanic ministry, and so he did those first two in Spanish. And then he's now pastor at Annunciation, and so he did it in English. And it involves parishioners, and they light a candle for each station and read a Bible verse. And so it just really sounded like a neat thing that they did there. And it's kind of like one of the parishioners, Mary Donahue, she says kind of a counterpart to the stations across, because you have the stations, and it's all sad. And that's what kind of Father Diaz was saying, you know, people were telling him that, you know, we go through before Easter and talking about the death of Jesus, and we need something uplifting after Easter. And this is a very uplifting thing, and how, you know, Jesus walked with his apostles all the way through Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Wow, amazing. Well, you have a few more stories as well. You interviewed an Our Lady of Lourdes parishioner, Diane St. Germain. She is talking about the Eucharistic theme watercolor, which is a top awardee in the Archdiocese Art Contest. And then you also have a sports section with Ron Ricardo's wrap-up. But unfortunately, we are out of time, Christine. Where can we go to read more of these stories and pick up our copy?
Well, any parish in the Archdiocese, you can get it on Saturdays and Sundays. And then, you know, clarionherald.org is our website.
Thank you so much, Christine, for being with us. Christine Bordelon with the Clarion Herald. She is the associate editor. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gabby. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Well, it is our summer pledge drive, and that number to call is 855-341-4255. 5199, or you can go to ccmedia.help and you can join the coffee club. We have a few new coffee club members, so thank you so much and welcome to the coffee club.
Indeed.
The coffee club is a recurring $30 a month donation, which is a dollar a day. And when you join the coffee club, you will receive a Catholic Community Media travel tumbler and a bag of River Road coffees. Also, any donation of $50 or more, you will receive Matthew Kelly's book, Holy Moments, a handbook for the rest of your life. So, wonderful incentives whenever you donate to Catholic Community Media and continue to keep our radio station on the air. Dina Dow joins us when we return from the break. She's the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Stay with us. That number again is 855-341-5199 or donating online at ccradio.help. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour. You tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Johnny A. Bear and Gabby Smith. And Dina Dow is in studios. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
But before we get started, because I got a whole lot I want to talk to you about, Dina.
We're going
to
be here for a while.
Yeah, but
we got to give out a phone number.
We got to give out that phone number because this is really important to us.
It is. Yes. Very much so.
So yeah. What is that number, Dina?
855-341-5199.
Got it. She did that from memory, too.
341-5199. Yeah, actually, on the way here, I was like, I know that number.
I bet you.
Yeah.
I think we're doing our
job. We all do.
Or you can go to ccradio.help, right?
Even easier.
Yeah, and go online, too, which if you're driving right now, don't pick up the phone, you know, and call us, but you can definitely do
pull
it when
over.
You get home. Yeah. Look, it is so important. I mean, Gabby and I have talked about this. We've talked about this, too. You know, the supporting Catholic media, Catholic community media. I mean, we've been supporting a little bit along the way. Mm-hmm. And then we finally got to the point where I was like, I mean, honey, can we just join the coffee club?
That's
can we
right.
just do this? Mm-hmm. He's like, right. sure. Yeah.
It's sort of like a commitment. It's just like, are we going to commit? Are we just going to?
Yeah. You know? So that steady commitment. But then also to the opportunities where you just kind of give a little bit extra.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like having a weekly collection, you mm-hmm. know, and then you have a little bit extra because there's something, you know, to support. And
that's right.
The technology behind Catholic Community Media is really important.
Very.
And, you know, we've talked about the history of the station and the impact, which is why I really want to talk about the Sacred Heart of Jesus today.
Oh, this is very important this month.
Because the logo, mm-hmm. you know, on Catholic Community That's Media us. Is the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go.
I was like, mm-hmm. here we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, talk about that. Because we were discussing it during the break and,
yeah.
you know, getting pretty passionate as a
I didn't
of fact,
want to give it away.
Okay.
You know, growing up, there were some devotions that I just missed. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't really either paying attention or maybe just wasn't focused on.
Right.
Nothing bad or anything. Just other things happening. Mm-hmm. Definitely had devotion to the rosary. But later in life, I discovered my grandmother's, who died about 50 years ago, her prayer book. So it was from
Neat.
The 1950s.
Oh, wow.
And so in the beginning of it, you have prayers. There's a theme every day of the week. Like
okay.
So, you know, and then there's a theme for every month. And then you have just tons of prayers for the intercession of saints and every station of the cross. The book is just
It must
huge.
Be a thick book.
Could
it's
you tell
very thick.
It was heavily used? Could you
oh,
tell?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's
and then it has her prayer card stuffed in there, you
a
know.
Coffee stain yeah. here and there.
It's yeah. beautiful.
I love that.
That's how you know it's really
a handwritten prayer from her for expectant mothers. It's beautiful.
Oh,
just so
wow.
she's still
what
spreading the faith, even though she passed away when, you know, in 1974. So
yeah,
just,
to
I
you.
Love grandma. So anyway, so the month, so I got into the monthlies. It's like, I didn't know they have monthly themes or devotions or focus. So of course, it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus
yes.
in June, because this is a solemnity that is celebrated the third Friday after Pentecost. So it can move,
okay.
you know, throughout mm-hmm. the liturgical season. And the devotion came in the 1600s. I had to bring my cheat sheet because I'm not good with dates.
Oh, no, that's...
Yeah, 1670s, when Jesus appeared to Sister Mary... Margaret Mary Alacoque,
mm-hmm.
right, and you know, gave to her the inspiration for the Sacred Heart of mm-hmm. Jesus. And it's not a devotion that's, it is, it's a part of like the love of the Lord coming forth. We also have to remember too that love is not only a love of like, I love you, but it is a like, I love you. And because of that, the sacrifices that flow from my heart
yes.
are going to be poured out upon you, right? Mm-hmm. And then with us, when we receive those, then we in turn pour that love back into our Lord Jesus mm-hmm. and then, of course, to others in
to
the world.
Others, right.
Because his heart is pierced. Right, pierced.
Yes,
right.
Such the image has the thorns, the
exactly.
crown on it.
And the piercing. The
right.
Wound. Yeah, the wound. Piercing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you really, oh my gosh, just really meditate upon the depths of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, mm-hmm. then you'll grow in an understanding and a way of loving differently than what we would say just like, I love you, or I love ice cream, right. or yeah, I love
right,
coffee.
Right.
You know, it's a sacrificial kind of love that brings us to the very core and the heart of the Trinity, mm-hmm. you know, that giving, that receiving, that pouring out from. So because of the Lord's love for us poured out upon the cross, then we too have eternal life with him. And so it's just a depth of love. So, you know, every morning we wake up and we decide to love.
Yeah.
You know, like we have to make a decision.
An active, yeah, conscious decision.
And, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
there's sacrifices we're going to make all day long, every day. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Be they
yeah.
minor or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
And that
what do you
still
do
beating.
With that? Right?
And that's what, you know, with the Eucharistic miracles, finding
yes.
that it's still a living
yeah.
tissue of
oh
a heart.
Oh, my gosh,
of a,
yeah.
You know,
it's
that makes it so
more.
Alive.
Yeah.
And then I was reading recently about all these discoveries about the human heart, how it has a brain of its own, actually,
yes,
and how it
yeah.
can sense, you know, what's going on between two people. It even can transcend time. It
yeah.
can anticipate what's going to happen. I'm reading all these scientific studies of the human heart, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the Sacred Heart now from a scientific standpoint,
exactly.
still catching up to our Lord.
Wow.
You know, yeah. it's really cool stuff. Yeah.
It's funny you talk about Eucharistic miracles. I just watched an episode last night on the platform formed.org from the Augustine Institute,
uh-huh.
and they were talking, it was a half-hour show about Eucharistic miracles. And Father Spitzer was on explaining some of the miracles, and it's cardiac tissue, right? It's heart tissue. So even in the Blessed Sacrament,
mm-hmm, right.
right, the power of our the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus, right, in the Blessed Sacrament itself, you know. Is for us, and we don't need signs, right?
Yeah.
But those are signs.
But definitely.
In reality.
The fact that you've got, it, on the one hand, it's a heart that shows it's under incredible duress and
yes.
stress.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still alive.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what we are.
I yeah. mean,
we walk into Mass and we're under duress,
exactly.
we're under stress, you know? But the Lord's living, and he asks us to live that out.
Yeah.
With, and the only way to do that is to join our hearts to his,
yeah.
right? Right. He
yeah.
has a Sacred Heart, but he makes our hearts
yeah.
sacred. As well, as soon as we join to it, but so it's a very real thing. It's not just some symbol,
it's
you know.
It's not. It's not some fluffy little notion either. In fact, so much so that my other grandmother, on the other side of the family, my mom's mother, has an image. When she passed away, you know, some things were just kind of given away.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I found. It's hanging in our hallway now. Is the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus with a consecration prayer for
oh,
the family?
Yes.
Oh,
oh
nice.
For the family,
I
not the household.
Highly,
or the family.
The household.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
I highly, highly recommend that individuals or families go out and find one of these. This one is very old. I do not know how old it is. I'm not even going to dare take it out of the frame.
Right.
But it is beautiful.
Nice. But they're out there, and you can
yes.
still do this at home
yeah.
because we had a priest come to our house and do the same thing. It's beautiful.
And kids yeah. know that. That's the thing about it. And children
yes, they
get
know what's
it.
Going on.
Don't
yeah, they
know
do.
What's going on.
Yeah.
And
yes.
it's such an easy thing to do. I know some parents, it's difficult to pray for our children with them, you know, because you're just not comfortable. But you will grow into comfort because as you come to know Jesus, then it's an expected conversation that you, like, why would you not?
Yes.
You know, so you can stand around the image, you know, and say the prayer together. And teach our children and teach our young children, our teenagers, our young adults to really consecrate themselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
And the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Which
and
is later.
It's comforting to see, though, when you go into a house, and this it's always affected me for years, and you see those two images, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart, and everything.
Yeah.
It just gives you this certain peace.
Yes.
And,
so we have those
you know,
in prominent places in our
very
house,
good.
Both very old images, both from my grandmother.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, you know. So kind of getting back to the why and the how of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Like, well, if you've never heard of it, or like, we know we have Sacred Heart of Jesus churches, you know, churches
right.
named after. But the opportunity to be able to really meditate upon the Sacred Heart of Jesus in Sacred Scripture,
yeah.
you know, where his heart was pierced, you know, on the cross. But I saw at the same time, too, the movement of the heart, which, you know, and I have to get it in, the mm-hmm. heart and the love of the evangelization that spreads out to other people, because the kerygma is, you know, God loves you so much that he sent his only son, right?
Right.
To become one like us in all things but sin, and to bring us back home to eternal life.
Beautiful.
That is amazing love.
And I love that image you mentioned earlier. Our logo has the radiating,
the
Holy Spirit from that sacred heart, that Holy Spirit radiating out across,
in this case,
the airwaves, but into each other.
And it touches so many hearts. Catholic Community Media touches so many hearts. I've heard the testimonies. You've heard the testimonies. And we do need to support these type of apostolates.
It's important.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pour it in.
So, Dina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for
having me.
But before you go, you got to give that number.
I would love to. It's 855-341-5199 or ccradio.help. So please call in and pledge your support today.
Awesome. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Archbishop Amon. Join us, 855-341-5199 or ccradio.help.
Welcome back. We are on our summer pledge drive here. We really appreciate you tuning in, becoming a part of it. This is your station. Actually, well, it is. So we're 100% donor supported. That's you, and then particularly by your prayers. And you can do that by making a pledge at calling by 855-341-5199. We have a group of wonderful people manning the phones.
You could probably hear them now. They're having a good time back there. We got to keep them busy.
You bet.
They're having way too much fun.
Call them, 855-341-5199. Or if you prefer, you can go online. It's really easy, ccradio.help. And you may be asking yourself, why should I support Catholic radio or Catholic media or anything like that? Well, I can't think of anyone that would be able to answer the question of why is Catholic radio, you know, important? Why now? Then our Archbishop Gregory Amon, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Archbishop.
Well, good morning. It's good to hear from you all.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear your voice, sir, as well. First of all, we got to ask you, what's it like on your end to ordain priests? Because you just went through that, four new priests. What's it like for you?
Well, it's a privilege. It's humbling. And we also realize in reflection upon the bishop's life, he can often delegate responsibilities and ceremonies to other people, but ordinations are something that he cannot delegate. It has to be done by a bishop. And it's just to look at the tradition that this started almost over 2,000 years ago when the apostles would pray over and call down the Holy Spirit on men, and they called them presbyters at the time, or priests, and we're still doing the same thing today, so it's really a great privilege and that we have four new priests in our diocese.
That is incredible, and you know, it's a beautiful ceremony. And what's that look like, by the way, Archbishop, in terms of the future? I know, you know, we always are trying to call our men and any and others into religious life. What does the future look like in terms of seminarians and that type of thing? And what can we do to help?
Well, what we can do to help are two things. One is pray that those whom God is calling will respond and say yes. And also, I think that sometimes people don't realize that if they see someone that they admire and that they see has the gifts, the potential gifts to be a priest or to be a deacon or to be a woman religious or a man religious, to invite that person to think about it. I mean, I think sometimes we don't realize that we have that kind of power, but to invite others to think about it. We have approximately 25 seminarians right now, which is a very strong number.
Wow, that's a lot. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also have several women who have joined religious communities in the last year. So things are looking up, I think. You know, it's sometimes the media that doesn't appreciate the church would like to say that vocations are dying and that people are not responding. Well, that's not true. It's certainly not true here in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And we feel very blessed that God continues to call and that young men and young women and not so young men and not so young
right
yeah women right
many or saying yes or saying yes
yeah. Yeah, you know, and speaking of the media, this is one platform, one media that we love having seminarians come on and priests come on, because it gives an opportunity for everyone to get to know them and to participate in their ministry. And that kind of brings us, you know, Archbishop, we at Catholic Community Media, we say this all the time, Dave, that this is your microphone, Archbishop.
Absolutely.
I mean, we exist to help proclaim, you know, the church and the truth that's out there. So talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, Archbishop. The importance, what is the importance of Catholic community radio and media, and why should people who are listening support it?
Well, it's a perfect opportunity, and I underline the word perfect, a perfect opportunity to bring our daily lives and connect our daily lives, which are very busy, with our faith. And I see the Catholic community, media, and radio as almost like God just nudging us during the day and saying, don't forget about me. Right. And then I'm part of your life, and I call you to faith. I call you to new life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, the other thing, too, you mentioned about we can get, overwhelmed sometimes with negativity, obviously.
Easily,
particularly
yes.
outside yes. the station. Yes. But when you step back and look at it, and you mentioned some hopeful things, I was looking at some trends of Catholicism growing all over the world. And even though you don't read about it and hear about it because we don't dominate the airwaves, there is a real boom going on, a revival, if you will, going on. So we see a lot of hope when we look, you know, outside the bounds of secular media.
Right.
What do you see, Archbishop? And you mentioned a few things about hope. What are you hopeful for in terms of the church in our local area? What gives you, I guess, signs, indications that things indeed are, it's not as bleak as people say?
Oh, no, we need hope. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree. And, you know, just yesterday I found out that 20 people are going from the Archdiocese of New Orleans to World Youth Day, and in Portugal. And it's a very expensive trip, unfortunately, but it's a very emotional trip. It's a very religious trip. It's a faith-filled trip. And they will meet the Holy Father and see the Holy Father at World Youth Day in Portugal. And to think that 20 people are able to do that, you know, sometimes when I go to parishes, younger parishes, when I see young families there, and I see that these parishes are just really booming with all kinds of activities and all kinds of opportunities to grow in faith and to evangelize. Faith is not dead. Faith is alive, and I really do believe that our young people are responding. Do we have a lot more to reach? Does the work of Catholic radio still have more to do? We all do.
Yes,
we all do. But a lot is happening, and I, you know, for example, in this past year at Easter time, excuse me, we had over 250 people joining the church.
Yes. Wow.
That was amazing.
I loved it.
That is awesome.
And in fact, we were talking about this trend across, go from Denham Springs over to Albany, back to Bush, Louisiana. You see this, we're moving northward in terms of evangelizing. So yeah, we do have a lot to be hopeful for. Well, Archbishop, we're kind of getting to the end, but we would sincerely and love to have your blessing, you know, as we kind of close out this hour of the show, if you don't mind.
Sure. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you hope and peace and love, not only to you, but to those whom you hold in your heart. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Archbishop. Amen. And again, these mics.
Well, thank you all for your wonderful work.
Thank you, sir. And these microphones are here for you. Anytime you want to come, we'd love to have you. And God bless you on your ministry. 14 years and counting. We can use you a lot longer.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that's a long time.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.
855-341-5199. This show, it was a very rich show today. I mean, it was, and this is something we want to continue to keep going. We want to continue. Our visions are of hope. There's a lot of hope out there, like you guys brought out there, and you're not hearing that, but you're going to hear it here. So that's very, very
important.
And
I'm going to give some real hopeful statistics in the next hour that you may not hear anywhere else, but here.
Very good.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, you know, Wake Up continues for the 8 o'clock hour, Johnny, and looking forward to some great guests. Deacon Larry Oney will be with us. He's the president and founder of Hope and Purpose Ministries, and you probably know him because he's a deacon over at Divine Mercy Parish in Kenner. He's going to be talking about his ministry and, of course, our collaboration with the collaboration with Catholic Community Media. We always love supporting Deacon Larry Oney and his wife, Andy. And in 35 minutes after the hour, Dr. Paul Chaloux joins us. He's a Catholic author, and he's going to be talking about his book Dying Without Fear. And in 48 minutes past the hour, Cody Roth is a Catholic singer and songwriter from the Diocese of Biloxi, and he's just on fire for the faith. So we talk about it all on Catholic Community Media, on Catholic Community Radio. Wake up, call that number 855-341-5199, or you can donate online at ccradio.help. Stay with us. Wake Up continues in just a few moments.